Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, unto Dan, and all Naphtali, in the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And in all that mighty hand, and on all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So here we have the end of Moses' life. And just approaching this chapter, we have some of the chapters written by Moses before he died. And now he came to the end of his life, and even though he wanted to be the one who was going to cross over into the promised land, he was not going to be the one. And I just want to take a look back at some of the things in Moses' life, back all the way from when he was in Egypt. And if we could turn to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover in the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And we'll stop there. So, back in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it closes with a tribute to Moses. And one of the things it says about Moses when he died is that he was 120 years old, but still his eye was not dim and his strength was not abated. So he was still as strong as he was before. And one of the things when I was thinking about how his eye was not dim, his when we looked in Hebrews, his spiritual eyes were not dim either. And he, back in Egypt, he had refused all he had refused the renown, the fame, the pleasures, the riches, the position, and the religion of Egypt. And he was willing to set all these things, he was willing to put them aside because he saw a gain that was far greater. He seen the invisible. And so tonight I just want to look at a few truths and not spend too much time on them, but a few truths that Moses must have thought about when he made the choice to leave Egypt, and why he set the riches of Egypt aside. So the first thing I had was, life is short. Life is brief. And we are weak and fragile. Second was, he will always provide just enough strength for any task that he gives. And third, everything God has given us is for a purpose, his design, in his design. And God's children who perform God's work through him will have lived the best life and the most fulfilled life. So starting with the first point, life is short on earth. And this is very important for us to remember as well, because it will impact how we invest our time and what we invest our time in. And I had a few verses that talked about the brevity of life. And I'll just read them for you to hear tonight. In Psalm 39, verse 5, it says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." In Psalm 103, verses 15 through 17, "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, he flourisheth. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." In Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." In one last verse in James 4:14, it says, Verse 14, it says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." And so we see just from some of those verses how, like a vapor, if I had a little bit of flour in my hand and I went and blew it away, it's there for a couple seconds and then it's gone. And God compares our life to a vapor. It's very brief. And even life in the very best is short. Along with that, it's not only short, we're weak and fragile. And often when we try to grow in the Lord and we try to do our best, He shows us our real heart and our weaknesses. And we have our own ideas, but it's really only the Lord's way that is right. And just a couple verses here. "Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. And there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor stature that is against the Lord." But that doesn't mean that we'll never do anything. It just means that what we do needs to be in the Lord's strength. And that's the main focus. Without the Lord Jesus, we can't do anything. And what we're doing is for him, not for our own glory. Now back to Moses. When he was called by the Lord in the burning bush, he realized he was weak. And he said he didn't want to go, but the Lord said he would go with him, and that's the promise that we have. We're not going alone. Next, the Lord will always provide just enough strength for any task that he gives us. And just before we come to Deuteronomy chapter 34, if we're in chapter 33, in verse 24, he says, As thy days, so shall thy strength be, in the second half of the verse. And we don't know why he does this for sure, but it may be that he wants to bring glory to himself and not to us. And it's as the manna came one day at a time. It didn't come for 2 days. It came for one day. The Lord gives strength for one day at a time. And he gives strength for one task. And he wants us to trust him daily. And when Moses came to die, he wasn't alone. The Lord was with him, and he wasn't afraid. He was willing to go. But it wasn't until the time that he was ready to die that the Lord gave him the strength. And in our life, the Lord doesn't give us strength for the great things until the time comes that we need the strength. Now, this is also important for us to remember for those who don't have God as their own. They don't have this hope, and when the time comes for them to go, they have to go alone. And stand before God, they're going to be condemned and for eternity. And unlike those who have God as their hope and with him, their strength will fail, and they'll pay the price for their sin. And so the question could be asked is, why stand in a dangerous place like that? Especially when the Lord has made the way, and he's made it free and open for all who would come to him. And in view of all these things, I'd like now to come to the next point. And that is, use everything that God has given you for what he has designed it for. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And also in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, he says, for us, he says, don't be ashamed of the gospel, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when the Lord gives us a task to do, as was mentioned, he'll give us the strength. And everyone can win someone to Christ. It doesn't matter who we are. People are watching our lives, and the Lord brings opportunities into our lives for people to see God working in our lives. And I just have a couple things that people might see God in our life. They might see us in how we express our attitude, whether we're joyful or cheerful. They might look at the way we react to problems that come our way. They might look at how we live, whether we're honest. They might see what we care about the most, what is driving us to keep going. And so even before we start talking to someone, they can see, possibly, and they will see who we are living for. And we don't always see the results of this, and we don't really have to see the results. All we need to do is do as the Lord commands and be witnesses for him to the people in the world that we meet. And the time's running out. I'll just close. God's children who perform God's work through his power will have lived the most fulfilled and worthwhile life. And it must be through his working. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it." And Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, "Not by power, nor by might, but by my word, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." It's when it's done through the power of the Lord that he gets the glory and life is worthwhile living. So life is brief and we're weak and fragile. The Lord gives strength for what he gives us to do. Use what we have for as he created us to. And God's children who performs God's work as he created them for will have lived the best and the most fulfilled life. Moses realized that life was temporal. He knew he was weak and that the Lord gives just the right amount of strength for each task. And he chose to follow God's plan for his life. And the Lord was with him through it all. And in the end, he was richly blessed with lasting rewards. Not just the life that he could have possibly lived in Egypt. And in the end, he could say that it was worth it because it was not something that was just going to end when he died. And I'm just going to close now with one verse and then I'll pray. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him." Apologize for going over time. Dear Lord God, just thank you for your working in this country here in Canada. We pray for those around the world who have to meet in secret and those who are persecuted. And help us to be a testimony for you in the people we meet and in the situations that you bring in our path. We just commit to you the rest of this evening and pray that you'd bring us safely to your homes. In Jesus' name, amen.